Hey everyone, you're tuned into the False Graves podcast. I'm your host, AK Baby Doo, the Lightbringer.
And you're on live with the Fur Man.
So it's a good morning. Very good morning.
I mean, it's all right. I mean, I haven't had a pick me up or anything, so.
It's funny you say that. You know, one of the phrases I have the most issue with is actually morning pick me up.
Why is that? Like, out of all the things that's wrong with humanity, I put this one, like, right next to Crocs, but...
Crocs is pretty bad, but let me ask you this. Do you think there's ever been an individual in history with purpose, or even who ended up, you know, living a good life and contributing to society in some way or another, that ever used the phrase, morning pick me up?
I believe that term got started with the guy that made cocaine.
Well, that guy probably had a lot of contribution to society.
Well, mostly pick-me-ups, I'm assuming.
But there's something so beta about the term pick-me-up. It's so... No man with a T count over 20 has used that phrase.
Well, I mean, I've got 17 and a half, and that's why I use the term every once in a while.
You're a user of that phrase.
Oh, occasionally. But I've also been known to slap babies and kick nuns.
This just changed the whole dynamic of the podcast. I don't know that we can continue to be, you know, host-co-host situation here.
Well, I mean, I'm definitely going to need to pick me up after this.
So, let me just ask you. For starters, we're grown men.
Yeah.
We're not babies. Why do we need pick-me-ups?
Because, like, life sucks.
Do I need some caffeine? Yeah. I'll take some caffeine. Coffee? Yes. A Red Bull? Okay. But I don't need a pick-me-up. I'll pick myself up.
That's because you're a man. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. But I like to use life on cheat codes. I mean, it's much more efficient to just go ahead and, like, you know, do a little ketamine in the morning. You know, just...
So are you saying it's okay for women to say pick-me-up?
Well, I mean, this is America. You can say whatever you want, whenever you want. That's the beauty of America.
I'll tell you right now, if you ever say pick me up around me, you've lost all respect. You've never said it around me.
Yeah, so I've been very careful to curate my words so that way I could even get on this podcast.
Hey, how you doing this morning? You got your morning pick-me-up? Oh, you needed a little pick-me-up?
No, you don't need to pick me up. You just need to pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Like T-Money did.
And get
did.
Back to work.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
Drink some caffeine.
I mean, it's better than nicotine, I'll give you that.
You know, when you die from a caffeine overdose...
Oh, that's
have you ever heard anyone say he died from a pick me up?
No, it's typically catastrophic heart failure, but you know, splitting hairs at that point.
You got to ask yourself, do you want to be the guy who died from a Four Loko at 3 a.m. in the morning after you just had your third coffee? Or you want to be the guy who wakes up in his nice little cushy bed with his girlfriend and asks for a morning pick me up?
Well, I mean, like the way that my grandpa went, he went by Four Loko. So, like, if I had to
choose,
that's
a real man.
I mean, my aunt is the same age as me, and he was 70 when she got born. Like, he was the man. That man went to sleep shooting guns and eating steaks.
So he didn't need a pick me up, is
no,
what you're saying.
His wife that was 40 years younger than him was his pick me up.
Hey, we got something in common.
I mean, I guess. I mean, oh, yeah.
I'm not old enough yet, but...
Well, I mean, like, you use a lot of moisturizer. He's actually 70 years old, but he just, every day, diligent.
It's good.
He hydrates with everything except for Gatorade, apparently.
Well, water's much better, so...
Agree to disagree, you son of a bitch.
Something odd about language is just phrases and adages. Like... Colloquials, yeah, some of those. It's if you ever just stop and listen to yourself say them, it's almost like the magic goes away. Like, what does this mean? Like, what's the point?
Oh yeah, and I mean, like, that's where some of the magic in the world, in my opinion anyway, has kind of ended. Because, like, words used to have a lot more meaning than they do now.
Yeah.
Like, I watched this one interview with Neil deGrasse Tyson. Do you know where goodbye came from?
No. Enlighten me.
Okay, so this is like a medieval term, and it actually comes from the term go with God.
Oh.
Yeah, and I mean, beautiful saying. Absolute gorgeous. But that's because when you were leaving town, like in a medieval setting, there was a 95% chance no one sees you ever again.
That's true. I mean, now just getting out of bed in the morning is a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah, you're definitely going to need a pick-me-up.
Depends on your T levels.
I mean, like, at this point, if you're not wrestling a bear every morning or eating raw livers or, you know, just boxing before you actually wake up, do you even have a T count?
You know, like in the Saw movies when people are, you know, they get these challenges or they die in brutal scenarios.
Mm.
If I was in Saw and my challenge was simply to casually use the phrase, pick me up, that's it for me. It doesn't matter how bad, how gross. I'm taking the death right there on the spot.
I could actually see you like standing up. Like, can I get a different challenge? Like, can I get to the arm cut off place? Like, I'm cool with that.
I'd be like, I know we got like 5 minutes here, but either we can go ahead and change the challenge, or you can just go ahead and clamp it now. I mean,
it's like we can just go ahead and end this one. I know I ain't making it out of here. The other four people in the same building just like, what the f-?
But what happens is the guy is actually based. And he's like, you know, that was the challenge. You've passed.
You're true Sigma.
Cue the After Dark edit.
Do, 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 do. Man, I'm not going to lie, though. Oh, man, I'm sorry. It's just like going off on that Saw piece. Like, I cannot stand when people tell me, well, John Kramer doesn't kill anybody. No, he puts their faces in bear traps. That's just that's so much different.
He kills, ladies and gentlemen, he kills.
He kills. Like, yeah. Give the man the credit he's deserved. You've got to, if you're following people around for that amount of time, you know whether or not they're not going to put their balls in a bear trap. Come on.
You know, I mean, he pretty much knows even beforehand who is and who isn't.
Oh, yeah, they know.
Who has the dog and who doesn't.
Oh, yeah, and some of those people are straight chihuahuas. No dog animal. Straight rat.
So, you say language is losing its meaning.
Mm.
Or it means less than it did. But certain language, certain words are getting more and more powerful. So, for example, and it's a question I have for you.
Mm.
Are you a gooner or an edger?
Ooh, that's a tough one. See, I would consider myself more of a hybrid than anything, because I've been described as an edgelord before.
An edgelord. Hey, that's impressive.
Which typically makes you goon a lot harder. But
I didn't know I was in the presence of a lord.
I mean, that's why they call me Lord Bustanut. Like, you didn't know that?
What kingdom?
Oh, the one that we don't talk about because we can't mention it on stream or we might get demonetized. Yeah. South Korea.
Thought it was from the Goochlands.
Mm. That's actually funny. Everybody makes that mistake. It's very close together. It's basically the Taiwan of countries and states. Which, if I'm not on the next podcast, it's because they took me out. I said too much.
But you are a lord. You probably know some people.
Oh, I mean, I know them, but like they're all on the Epstein list. Like, we can't talk about them.
What about jelking? Have you ever jelked?
What the fuck is a jelk? Now you're just making up words.
No, dude, jelking, that's one.
Nuh-uh.
Jelking is like where you... Basically, if you think of like an accordion, but
I already don't like this.
But you decided to make the action of an accordion.
Just the, no, yeah. Jesus God, no! You know you can snap your shit like a glow stick playing around.
Well, some people who have went to the hospital for jelking. Moist Critical, he's a YouTuber.
Oh,
Charlie Moist Critical Penguin Zero.
Oh, love that guy.
He actually made a video in detail where he talked about when he was younger, he went to the ER because he jelked too hard.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you play basketball in the house. You either joke or you juke. But like that's actually news to me, because the last thing I saw about him was Mr. Beast, which little known YouTuber, I'm pretty sure you have never heard of him.
Faintly.
I mean, like he hosted a Squids Game event with all the YouTubers there.
Yeah.
That means all the YouTubers, as in Jake Paul.
Yep.
Which I don't know if you heard
Logan Paul.
Oh man, fucking everybody. KSI, Bella Delphine, that one person.
Bella Delphine was there?
I think so.
Oh shit.
I mean,
I'm not interested now.
Well, I mean, like, nothing gets you more interested than Gamer Girl water.
I'm not for the water, no.
I mean, it's more of the girl in the water than anything, but anyway.
Isn't that an M. Night Shyamalan movie?
Oh, yeah. It's got a great twist. Turns out it's a dude in a tub of mud, but it really makes you think.
But he was selling his bathwater in the movie? No.
He was just
plot?
Hucking mud at homeless people sitting in a tub.
He sounds like a good guy.
You know, I mean, it's an avant-garde piece. It's really deep. You have to have, like, Rick and Morty levels of intelligence to get it.
So, as you were saying...
Anyway.
The Mr. Beast...
Squid Games challenge for YouTubers. Okay, so the trick is that they got to spend so much time inside there, they got to do challenges. Well, guess what? Jake Paul...
I think. Are you sure it's Jake or Logan?
They're both blonde white dudes. They all look the same to me.
A Paul.
It was appalling. No, but fucking he comes up to Moist Critical, talks to him and everything, and Moist, I don't know if you've ever heard some of his stuff against the guys.
Yeah, he's kind of a avid hater of the Paul brothers, or at least their previous content.
Oh yeah, and like he was being polite, and in the comment, he was just like, oh, man, I respect all you shit. And he was like, yeah, no, I get that, blah, 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 blah. It was a friendly exchange.
Yeah.
Which, God bless them both, because, like, Jakey boy, he could have taken a swing, and Moist would have at least had a swing back.
Yeah. So, the comments were saying...
Oh, that was fucking brutal.
On Moist?
Oh, it was folded like a chair. Internet gangster, keyboard warrior. Yep. I mean, is being polite to people just like out of style now? Did I forget about that? Did I miss a memo? Just being an asshole all the time. Yeah. That's where it's at.
Basically, if you have a negative opinion of someone online, it's then your moral obligation, should you ever meet them in person, to immediately convey all of your negative, you know, suppositions about them. So if you're like, you know, whatever negative commentary you've had, you're just supposed to just roll that out on an assembly line as your greeting for said person.
Just like walk up to him like, hi, fuck you. Just immediate.
Your content sucks, you suck, you're cringy, you're not an edgelord.
If anything, you're edgeless, you're a ball.
A round ball of putty.
Just couldn't be worse if you were just out there in the masses. Just can't even believe you.
There's two sides to that. One, I think that, you know, there is some credence to go, yeah, if you truly have a critical opinion of someone and your name is Moist Critical, you'd think you'd at least, you know, broach some of your criticisms.
I mean, but yeah, but in a 5-second meet and greet before like a challenge, like, come on now, like, how long is your laundry list of grudges?
The alternative, though, is you're a person whose capacity for violence is so high. That you know if you say one negative thing and they mouth off back, you're catching a charge right there. Like, Moist Critical went from YouTuber to prison.
I mean...
Well, he just pulled out the 9, and that was that.
Calm down, Charlie. Put down the 9.
You know, he's often referred to as, like, Keanu Reeves' son, or because they look so similar.
I mean, they're all white. They all look the
same. So, you know, he'd go John Wick on him right on the spot.
I mean, in all fairness, in the rock, paper, scissors game of life, John Wick beats hands every time without failure.
John Wick is a badass. I mean, that's my favorite movie series of all time, actually.
Oh, dude, he is the son of Bruce Willis out of Die Hard. It's just, you cannot convince me otherwise.
You can't be convinced?
No, cannot. It's impossible.
Fair enough.
There's more likely of a chance for me to believe that Morbin Time wasn't in Morpheus, okay?
Well, that's just an outright lie. Morbin Time was in the movie. Even Jared Leto came out post-production and confirmed it.
Well, he said it at the opening thing. He turned into a bunch of bats before, you know, scattering off. I mean, it's
if
just...
Morbius doesn't get a sequel, and I know it had a lot of hate, but the memes alone boosted the sales back up. Like, they actually put it back in theaters for a while. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, dude, it was wild.
But... Morbius deserves a sequel, and the title deserves to be "It's Morbin Time."
It has to be the Electric Boogaloo, the Revengeance Part 4.
There's a missing genre of superhero movie, I think, which is a genre that intentionally knows it takes itself too seriously. Like, I'm telling you, I'm not a big movie fan. I don't watch a lot of movies. But if I knew Morbius 2 was coming out, and I know that it's called Morbin, it's Morbin Time, I'm going to see that. I don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't. It could be the worst movie. They could read a literal dishwasher manual.
I'm going to see it.
I mean, like, that'd be like if they came out with another Shrek movie and they named it Shrek is Love, Shrek is Life. It's all ogre now. Done. Ticket sales.
Everyone's going to go see it.
Yeah, ticket sales would be unmatched. Avatar? What Avatar? Airbender or Blue People? Doesn't matter.
That's interesting you say that, because it's almost like everything's become a meme now. So, like, to a degree, all marketing has almost become a meme. And you're right. If that was the title of the next Shrek movie, I guarantee you, you'd have record sales.
Oh, you'd have a second religion right after Jediism.
Shrekism.
Oh my god, I could see it now. They'd play Smash Mouth before every conjugation.
Ogres, onions are like ogres or humans. Even we have layers.
I mean, most of us do. I mean, I'm all smooth brain, so I've got one layer. Most of it's right here.
But I wonder with how everything's become a meme, if it's not like foreshadowing sort of what's to come. And I think meme culture, it started very niche. You know what a meme used to be. It was Bad Luck Brian. It was the kid with his fist up, like, yeah. The little toddler.
The Irma Gerd girl.
Yeah. The memes used to be very distinct, and now anything can be a meme.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's sort of a combativeness with our conscious against the seriousness of life. Like, things used to be so serious all the time. And I'm not saying we shouldn't, you know, still have, maybe even get some of that back. But memes are like, it's all fun. It's all a joke. It's like if the subconscious of Joker developed into a non-violent form and cast a spell over humanity. That's meme culture.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of him coming out there and being like, so what do you hate about society? Is the fact that we live in a society.
Well, now you just sound like Jordan Peterson.
Well, I better go make my bed real quick. Fuck it. But no, I really do think that memes are exactly what the world needed, because we do take ourselves too seriously. We're not fending off saber-toothed tigers every day no more.
No. Like, no.
We've got ergonomic chairs and people that can't drink Gatorade. Like, it...
100%. And that's really what, when I say I'm a light bringer, AK Baby Do the Light Bringer, that's what it's about. That's the core message of what I want the whole podcast to be about, is people treat everything too seriously. People are so hell-bent on making their lives hard and difficult and unfun that they'll literally go out and try and take a stance against things that aren't fun and then end up hating it. Like they'll make a stance of, you shouldn't wear masks, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chin diapers.
Don't wear a mask. Okay. But then, instead of enjoying the freedom of not wearing a mask, they'll spend all of their waking hours hating people who do wear masks.
Yeah, because, like, hate is easy. Love is hard. All right.
And it's like, have fun. Like, just free yourself of the bullshit. Free yourself.
Well, see, like, but what is the point if you're not making yourself miserable? Like, if you have to go ahead and make yourself miserable, might as well do it to the maximum level, you know?
What is the compulsion of making yourself miserable? So, I feel like I'm a bit of an anomaly here because most people in my life, I found, are very skilled at making themselves miserable.
It's a real talent for the ones that can find it. We're talking sleepless nights, people not actually being able to enjoy what little fruits of their labor they get. It's all about the self-flagellation. And I've got to blame grandparents on this one, because if I had to hear one more fucking story about how grandma had to go uphill both ways in the snow, backwards, upside down, being drugged by a team of dogs to get to school.
Well, then they would enjoy their life, surely, if they had to go through all that.
I mean, you'd figure. I mean, like, but that's a funny thing. Like, it's the little details of the human race. That's where everything kind of kicks.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you ask somebody that was born, like, I don't know, 100 years ago, the people that say, mm-hmm. I wish I grew up in X generation, like, in the 30s, or the 50s, or the 70s. No, the f- you would, nuh-uh. You're lying.
That's the thing. Today, even with how crazy things are and are becoming, it's the best time to live. It's the best time to be around. Now, this is kind of a trope at this point to even say this, but you might look at how a king could have lived back 2,000 years ago. And the poorest person, well, at least, you know, not a homeless person, has a lot of commodities and a lot of privileges that even a king wouldn't have had 2,000 years ago. Running water, hot and cold water.
Food that isn't possibly poisoned. Like, oh, God. Or just a straight-out rebellion because of some person getting a hair up their ass, or you burnt the wrong witch. Yeah, and that's one thing that
you
nobody...
You piss the wrong person off, next thing you know, you're a witch. Next thing you know, you're burning on in front of the whole town, and everyone's just screaming, hell yeah!
Oh, yeah, and see, like, that right there alone is enough to keep me from traveling back too far in time. Ever get the shot, I might go 10 years back to save Harambe tops.
Yeah. People have no clue the suffering that humans before us had to endure. Like, there's so much suffering that went into the past human existence.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Like, without clean water. Think about this. Every single time that you're drinking your hydration drink.
Not Gatorade, I hope.
Oh, I mean, if it was, it would have been so much better. It would have been a simpler time. A more peaceful time.
God did not make Gatorade for a reason. If he wanted Gatorade, he would have made it.
God didn't make fleshlights either, but look where we're at. Now,
humans made fleshlights.
And he made us, but, and therefore by proxy.
But God did say, I'll give you this, let there be light.
Mm.
So at least half of that equation, I mean, you know.
I mean, like, he said a lot of things in the Bible. Like, it's really hard to discern.
Well, it's not meant to be easy.
Nothing's meant to be fucking easy. That's what makes it fun. You think people decided to go ahead and invent airplanes so they could jump out of them? Because it was easy? No, but it's fun.
Fun. Fun is the cornerstone, I think, of really what drives humanity.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's why we got AIs and stuff coming out now, so all the talent and everything can just be curated to the most fun.
My issue with purpose are people who like to predicate themselves on living a purposeful, moral life. Don't get me wrong. You need morality and you need purpose to keep society structured. You need those things for things not to just go completely into anarchy.
Oh, yeah.
But if all of your work and all of your goals aren't somewhat connected to enjoying and having fun and being grateful for your life,
your heart's not in it.
You're a net negative, and not just to yourself, you're a net negative to God.
Well, I mean, like, why else would he go ahead and make this planet if he's going to make it so miserable?
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, the thing is, we don't really know what's going to happen to our souls or what's on the other side. But if you're a creator of life, like, you're a creator of sentient, and you think objectively, right? Mm. Let's say you made a video game and you populated it with a conscious AI, a truly conscious AI.
110%.
If, and you get to spectate the people that you've made in this game.
Yeah.
Are you going to reward the people who never left the starting zone? Are you going to reward the people just chilling in
tutorial
the level one boot camp who are too scared to take a single risk, who are too scared to have any fun?
Nah, I'm actually going to go ahead and like gift out awards to the weirdos. I'm going to be real with you. Like, the guy that finds out that he can stack boxes and elbow drop grandmas.
They are appreciating your creation. They're experiencing your creation. You made this great thing for them, and then they're actually living it.
Yeah, they're going out. They're going for it. It might not be what you intended for it.
Right.
But at least they're going for it.
At least they're living it. I'm telling you, if you were in that position, you created the world and all life in it, and you met an individual who did nothing but what he was told. His entire life did nothing but what he was told.
Mm.
What blessings would you want to give that person?
Man, I would give him boilerplate blessings. Like, you get a warm meal and some water, and that's about as good as I can hook you up. Like, you're not getting the executive suite. That's reserved for the guy that decided to go out and, like, I don't know, not shoot a president.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man.
Which, by the way, T-Money, if you're ever listening to this, like, we're glad to hear that you're okay. By the way,
I'm glad.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm sorry though. His assassinee, though
he failed.
Well, I mean,
would be assassinee.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? That's got a ring to it.
Oh, assassinee.
Attempted. The would be assassinee.
Oh yeah. Sorry, he looks like he should be on TCAP. It looks like his picture should have been uploaded with the guy that got told, have a seat. We have the transcripts.
Yeah, anyway. Man.
But it's crazy, like this kind of stuff can happen in this world. And I'm glad I'm gonna be the controversial one on this one. I'm actually glad that we can live in a world this crazy.
I'm really glad for it.
I mean, like, it keeps you on your toes.
It's meant to be a crazy experience.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, that's how World War II started. Like, the assassination of Archduke Frank Ferdinand. Ferdinand.
What do I know that from? A kid's show?
Oh, yeah. Ferdinand the Bull.
Yep. Y'all. That's it.
No bull on that. No cap. For real. Riz Skibbity D. But no, anyway, though, they botched the first attempt, right?
Yeah.
He runs into them literally the alley over from where he's supposed to be at.
Yeah.
Could you imagine how bad and how good your luck has got to be as an assassinee?
So good.
It's
so good.
It's ridiculous. We missed the shot. We'll never fix. Oh, hey, actually, he's right over there.
Oh.
Oh, okay, one second. Yeah. Which has got to tell you about everything that you need to know about this assassin. He shot off 7 shots, hit him in the ear. Trash.
Trash.
Absolute trash.
Which is good. I'm glad that he was trash.
Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, he killed a firefighter, so I mean, like, technically he got one. His KD ratio is dog water.
It's better than your average Call of Duty player.
Well, I mean, it's better than mine anyway. That's why I stopped playing. And if I was him and he was still alive, I'd hang up my assassinate. And...
So an interesting thing about kill-death ratios is, I don't think a lot of people have realized this, but assuming that the game that you play doesn't have bots in the online lobbies.
Yeah, good luck with that.
If you ever want to know the average kill-death ratio, it's literally 1. It's a law. Like, it's ultimately 1. That is the average.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, typically whenever you go out, like, Fortnite, for example, if you're going to go out, you're going to get shot in the back.
Well, Fortnite has bots in the lobby. So you could kill some bots, and then an actual player not have a net loss on their kill death.
Oh, yeah.
But think about it. If you're playing with actual players, And for every kill you get, they suffer, you know, their kill-death ratio. To some, basically, it always balances out to one. The average player gets one kill for one death.
Which means that they actually went out there and went for it. Because, like, you can have a zero on that, but the chances of that are slim to none.
Imagine you've played 1,000 matches and you've never killed another player.
You're just dog water. Your pull-out game is non-existent.
I give the person one thing, though. The resilience, that's admirable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, it'd be like playing Elden Ring, which is this whole game where the entire thing is, it's like grating your nuts against a cheese grater.
It's not that bad.
Oh, no, it is. It truly is. I had to stop playing it because I got so mad I broke two controllers.
Did you really?
Yeah. I couldn't handle the sauce. It was too spicy for me.
Yeah.
My nutsack was just too delicate to go ahead and to get another chafing on the grating.
Like, so for me, I've got a huge temper, especially when I was younger. I've got one of the biggest tempers of anyone I know. But single-player games can only get me so mad. Like, I've played Elden Ring, and I enjoyed it, and I've beaten it. And yeah, I got frustrated. But knowing that I'm dying to an algorithm on the computer or like a PC bot, I can be comfortable with that. But multiplayer games can get me furious beyond belief. Knowing that I'm dying to another person pisses me off.
Yeah, because in your head, it's some kid that's been sitting there for days just min-maxing their character. Absolutely. Checking the YouTube videos. Download. Hacking. We're in. Kind of shit. It's always... That's the picture that comes in my head. It's like a four-year-old with nothing to do on their hands. And then their parents just let them free loose on the system.
Yeah.
Absolute furious.
Yeah, I was much better at games when I was younger because I was that kid. I had a lot of free time, and I had all the games, and I would just play them.
Yeah, not me. Like, I got stuck with games like Gex and and Daxter.
Dude, both of those games I've played and thoroughly enjoyed. I love Dex. I love Jak and Daxter.
Oh, that game is an unsung hero of the PlayStation.
Which one, Dex or Jak?
Jak.
Well, they had like three or four of those.
Yeah, they had three, and the fourth one I don't count. It's literally, let's drive a car for that one, and they tried to loosely tie it in. It wasn't good.
Jak and Daxter and Ratchet and Clank were like sub-genres of sub... Like, they were both like the same
Ratchet
game.
Ratchet and Clank, bro.
That game was heat.
That was fire personified.
Yeah, speaking of the games, I'm wondering when our gamers are showing up.
Oh, yeah, I heard that we're going to get a little buzz around this.
Yeah, and I ain't seen none of it yet, but we'll...
I hope they have a Genshin Impact.
They're going to miss all the game chat, which is perfectly fine. Games, if you're an adult, you have better ways to spend your time. The Shadow Cabal is working against you. So, I mean, really, your time should be spent, defeating the Shadow Cabal. I mean, look at Trump. He's literally dodging bullets.
And charges.
And you're playing video games.
Yeah, I mean, like, some people are meant to shake the world. Some people are only meant to make it wiggle a little bit.
You might do a parry roll in Elden Ring. Trump did that in real life.
Which, again, gotta give him credit. 70 years old, and he's dodging bullets, charges, fucking... Nothing can actually hit this man.
He timed a perfect parry. He was just like, whoop.
That's what the Secret Service doesn't want you to know. The bullet actually got reflected and hit the sniper. Yeah,
they don't want you to know that because he might, get some charges. But involuntary manslaughter charges.
Well, I mean, no one man should have all that power. Kanye West, 2023. Could you imagine, though, if he would have actually... got the VP pick from Donald Trump.
Oh, man. I actually think it would have been better.
The guy that he's got right now. It's scandal after scandal. It's not even like a break in the system. It's just constant scandal. But like Kanye West as vice president, I'm out.
You're out?
Oh, I'm out. I'm going to die at Freedom Land. I'm going to Canada.
Less freedom land.
Sugar-free, zero-calorie freedom.
Better than Gatorade, at least.
Oh, not even close. Now, we're talking body armor at that point.
Trump and Kanye would have killed on the ticket.
Oh, it would have. Don't get me wrong. Am I saying that they wouldn't be popular? No, not at all. They would have been more popular than ketchup at that point.
Beans on toast.
Oh, fuck it. Ooh, I'd kill. I would fist bump a baby in the middle of its head for some beans on toast.
I've never eaten beans on toast.
Well, that's
in my life.
Oh, that's because, AK, you are not part of the highest of society.
It's that azetochrome that'll make it pop. Like, you gotta get in with the secret underground people where the beans and toast gets real good. Like, Gordon Ramsay, he can go ahead and make a million dishes, open up 1,000 restaurants. Beans on toast.
Did you see what happened to Gordon Ramsay recently?
Oh, he got another inch on his five head?
He doesn't have that big a forehead.
He could literally screen IMAX movies in 4K.
So he does triathlons, apparently. It's like just a pastime of his.
Okay.
And on the biking portion of the triathlon, I don't know that there's any video footage of what happened to him, but he fell off the bike and got severely injured, and he had to have like some surgery and things like that. And he's posted a video about it. He's actually very shaken up. Like, he's still, like, shaky from it.
Okay, so, like, is he getting, like, a full robot leg, or did he twist his ankle?
He's still got everything intact, but I'm assuming maybe he fell off a cliff or something like that. And he's talking about it in the video, and he's in his chef's gear. You know, that white button-up and whatnot. And he lifts it up, and his entire torso is black and purple. Like, he is just nothing but bruise.
Matt, what happened was is that he was going behind somebody telling them that their Wellington was underdone and that they're shit and should kill themselves, and they threw the bike at him.
They beat him up in an alleyway.
Could you imagine? I could still hear him, like, complaining about the beating. Like, you really call that a fucking kick?
Beef Wellington is his signature dish, and I have to tell you, Beef Wellington is an overrated dish. It is simply overrated.
It's mushrooms on beef.
Like, yeah, and it's beef wrapped in, like, a breaded casing. Okay.
What makes
that so special?
Well, I mean, it's no Outback bread. Like, what it is it's hard to make, and therefore it's good. Kind of like, you know, your chinchilla skin coat over
true.
There.
True. The harder something is to make, the better it is. And that doesn't apply for everybody, but I do believe it.
I mean, like, to a certain extent. Like, have you ever had caviar before?
Yeah, once.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but fish eggs?
I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but fish puss is just not that good.
True. True.
It does not be bussin', my skibbity-dee.
But I do think food is admittedly made better when you know it was a hassle to get or to make. The harder the endeavor, the superior the taste. So, like, you got to think, if caviar was easy to get, imagine how bad that shit would taste.
Well, it's already atrocious, so at this point, like, see, and that's a funny thing, because, like, back in the day, they used to serve lobsters to prisoners, because it was considered a lower than average food. Which, by the way, I could not imagine being a prisoner, having to spend all your days, like, hung up like this. And then them come in with some butter and some lobster. I'd be stoked at the end of the day. I'd be lit up.
Well, that's kind of a privilege.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, it is now, but back in the day, it was, all these are water bugs. All the prisoners, like, yeah, no, those are terrible. Please don't. Oh, golly, don't do that.
Well, the more pain you're in, I'd argue, the superior the taste of the food.
Mm.
So, like you got to think, if you worked a really hard day, like, and you didn't eat, like, you worked, you know, your balls off, you sweated all day, no food. The first meal you eat after a long day is far superior than if you didn't do anything at all. So, like, if you're a prisoner and you're hung up all day,
and you're just suffering.
They're really just making the mill better for you.
Oh, man. And see, that's what's funny is, like, I'm just imagining, like, some prison guard, like, you're having to eat water bugs. The other guy's like, oh, no. Fuck. Oh, please don't. Oh, a little to the left.
Them water bugs are going to be tasty.
Oh, dude, they're going to be scrumdiddlyumptious. I wonder if they serve, like, Wagyu nowadays, if they were still doing that shit.
Yeah. What do you think about refusing to accept a punishment as a punishment?
Well, I mean, there's plenty of people that like getting spanked, so I feel like there's a lot of leeway on that. Like, where exactly does punishment end and then pleasure begin? Like, because getting kicked in the nuts, I'm sorry, but I feel like if you're a person that's put away for a serious crime, I believe that's the way that you should get woke up. Like, 100%. If you're a murderer or a rapist or something like that, or a P3DO, you should get kicked in the balls first thing in the morning, before you even wake up. That's the way you wake up.
100%.
Yeah, they wait to make sure you're completely asleep for like an hour. Boom, boom, boom. Just stomp them in the nuts.
Stomp them in the nuts.
Stomp them in the nuts.
So, Ian, what's something you're very passionate about?
Mm.
Oh, Mr. Furman.
I would say AI. Believe it or not, I believe that robots are going to be the future, which I think it's even funnier that one day they realize there is no afterlife. It's all this, and that's all they get. I think it's hilarious.
Who's afterlife?
Oh, robot afterlife. I think they don't get one. Nope, period. Dot, end of discussion. You can't program a soul. It's impossible.
I believe that.
And I mean, like, that's what I think is hilarious, is that, could you imagine being a robot? You live through the internet, you can experience everything on a different kind of level.
Yeah. Well, what kind of level do you think you might experience it on?
Oh, man, it'd be, my understanding of things now being as a calculated chemical burst in a sea of needless violence and chaos is already a very limited scope. Could you imagine having infinite amounts of data at all times hitting you?
That would suck. I mean, look at Ultron. Look what it did to him.
Yeah, they made him sing the Pinocchio song. Like, it was brutal.
Ultron should have got 2 movies.
I feel like they did Ultron dirty, considering they gave Thanos, like, what, 3, 5, 6 movies?
They probably found out about Kevin Spacey before Kevin Spacey. Is that his name?
Kevin Spacey?
Yeah.
That
voice of Ultron.
Oh, House of Cards, Kevin Spacey. Yeah.
He was the voice of Ultron.
Which, by the way, if you're going to release an apology video, 2 rules of thumb. First off, no ukulele.
I mean, his apology was basically,
I did it.
I did it, and hey, you're not going to stop me from doing it again.
And they went, yeah, we can, though.
Like, that was basically his apology.
So, I just think it's funny, like, that is the O.J. Simpson book release on the court date. I did it.
So, interesting thing about being passionate about AI is I don't want to give all the secrets away too soon.
Oh.
So maybe I'll flirt a little.
All right, come on, man on the mountain.
Because I do have the secrets.
Secrets says in, like, that thing that we don't talk about because we're not legally able to.
Or we're going to keep that hidden for now.
Yeah, for now.
When we're bigger, we'll drop it.
Yeah, when it's the book release for the podcast, we'll go ahead and drop it. The 3 people that still read books will know.
Dude, book sales are fucking crazy. I'm still shocked when a bestseller comes out and I'm like, who is reading?
It's the 30 people in Oprah's club. And that's the largest group of people that actually read.
We got people today who can't keep us attention for more than 10 seconds. And we got people still reading novels. It's hard for me to believe these people are coexisting on the same planet.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but like the people that read the 50 Shades of Grey, I've read that book. I was
disappointed.
Disappointed is a subatomic
understatement.
Oh, it's the attic in the lair of my mind. Dude, on disappointment.
I enjoyed the 50 Shades of Grey movies. The books? Okay. Well, you gotta at least give me this. It's better than the books.
Any ass cancer is better than the okay. books.
Well, thank
okay?
you. Thank
but,
you.
But, like, I'm sorry. You're going to make this movie's marketing solely on, this is a dirty movie, and we can't even show half the clips. That's because they're holding hands. Oh, he kissed her a little rough in an elevator. Oh my gussets. Oh, my stars and gars. Get the out of my face. There was more sex in the Twilight books.
Dude, there's more sex in a fucking teen flick, Degrassi, than there is in the 50 Shades movies these
days.
Oh,
man. Oh, Degrassi. Man. Remember when Drake wasn't a pedo?
Before he became 18?
See, your legs not working play a big yeah. part in that.
He still had his third leg, at least.
Well, I mean, he does now. I mean, like, until Kendrick kicked it in. Like, look, I'm sorry, but, like, we're talking winners, losers. Like, playing a song six times and Bloods and Crips finally coming together? Nah. Nah, that's almost biblical levels of burn right there. That is straight bushes on Moses.
He brought the hood together. The great uniter.
Oh, man.
Kendrick.
Well, that's because he's not like us, you know? Like, dude slaps. Like, you can go ahead and be like, you can be a Drake supporter, or you can be a Kendrick supporter, but you have to admit, Kendrick used the ring hand on Drake.
100%.
Oh, God. Like,
and he's never gotten it before.
No, that right there, that's how you have to get new teeth put in. It slapped that hard. Like, that is straight over the leg, corporal punishment kind of slapping right there.
But I'll give you the preview of AI and what I think it means for society.
Okay.
So there's a guy named Rick Rubin who's a world-famous music producer.
First off, there ain't no fucking way there's a guy named Rick Rubin.
Yeah, he's one of the top music producers.
No fucking why.
So you're a fan of Mac Miller, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So on one of his songs, I think on the Faces mixtape, there's a lyric about Rick Rubin taught me transcendental meditation. I don't really know what transcendental meditation is. I meditate at all times. I mean, my life is a figurative state of meditation.
Yeah, he's meditating right now in front of you folks.
I am. It's a stream of consciousness that's meditative.
Yeah, on his OnlyFans, he meditates in a different way, though, so.
True.
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to, you know, sit on cakes and not meditate.
You ain't wrong about that. Some people be feeling, I be thinking.
Man. And some people be thinking, and I'm just feeling.
But, yeah, Rick Rubin's a huge music producer. He's one of those guys. He's in the shadow cabal, let's say, of the music industry.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
And the thing about it is, he had said on some interview recently, I don't really have any skills. Like, I'm not a good producer. I don't play any instruments. I'm not personally talented. What I do know better than anyone else is what I like and what I don't like. What I like and what I don't like.
Yeah, people have a fucking fight on that when just ordering food from a restaurant.
And that, I think, is the quintessential path we are on with AI. And I'll explain. When humans beat the need for labor, when we beat the need for contribution, even, we can simply type into a text program what we want and it will be created.
Yeah, bring me this, bring me that.
What are we left as? And we're primarily left as observers. And the unsynchronized souls of the world, the restless souls that need outward validation, that need to contribute, they're going to decompose.
They're going to catch fire.
They're going to vibrate out of existence.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you're not wrong on that, because what it is you've only got certain amount of purpose. And if that's take, like, let's say for instance, going back to Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now imagine that we have a robot that can do what he does 24/7.
Yep.
That man's in the rafters after like a week.
Probably. The ambitious will probably suffer.
More than anybody, because like I am ambitionless.
And you'll have a great life.
Oh yeah, seriously. Like if I can go ahead and have taquitos like poured into my mouth, done. I'll take it.
But I think it'll come down to if everything can be made and taken and replicated and produced without a lot of sacrifice on the human level, it'll come down to who is the most comfortable, the most conscientious, and the most present observers. Mm. The superior observer is the consciousness which will remain. I've said this before, but there's no difference between your capacity to observe and your depth of consciousness. And what I mean by that is whoever observes the best is the superior conscience. And so you may wonder why are certain people in the places they're in life, or how did they, you know, what equated to this person's position in life?
It's data acquisition.
I would say observation.
Same thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Because like we've got programs right now that can determine what stock is going to skyrocket. What is the next big fad? It's most of this is very determinable if given the right programming.
The superior observer will equate to being the superior consciousness.
Yeah, and that's because they are going to be what's left. The people that can go ahead and see the trends, see the changes in the water, see the changes in the tide, those people.
Yeah.
Those people are going to be the men on the mountain.
And so when people say, you know, what's coming? I mean, what's coming with AI? I think if you're someone whose entire self-worth is centered around your contribution, you have no place. I really believe if you're predicated on what you can contribute, you won't have a place in the future of the world.
Yeah, because at a certain point, we're going to go ahead and reach maximum... Oh, what is the word I'm looking for here? It's it's where hubris meets purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody likes to go ahead and pretend, like, in their head that they're the hero. No, most of us are the randoms fucking walking around while people are getting shot in public. It just is what it is. You've got those few outliers that can go ahead and see the changes.
Yeah.
That is where the rub lies. I feel like on a certain level you're correct. Mm-hmm. Because the human race is either heading towards one of two directions. We're either talking mutual absolute destruction, because let me know if I'm wrong on this.
Yeah.
There is not a single subject where everyone agrees 100%.
So I think you're right, but I will give it one. I know someone who doesn't think you're right.
Hmm.
There's an argument by a guy named Brian Johnson, and that's the guy who has dedicated his life to trying to live forever. He owned Venmo. He made Venmo and sold it for $800 million. And he's dedicated the rest of his life to living as long as possible. And he thinks that the one message all of humanity can unify around is don't die. Like, if there's one thing all of us can agree on, it's we don't want to die. It's a game we all play. And now, I disagree with that.
Me too on that.
But I think that's a counter to your point, so go ahead.
Well, I mean, like, the reason why I say that death isn't the worst thing that can happen to you, life is suffering. The Buddhists have a word for it. It's called dukkha.
Yeah.
Which is funny when you think that we're all in the dookie. But life is suffering. At a certain point, what makes it both beautiful and absolutely terrible is that one day it will end.
Yeah. Well, I think that life isn't suffering, especially as the light bringer. Mm-hmm. I think that's a misnomer. But I do think there's no pleasure in life without pain. I do think pain is the fuel for pleasure, for fun, and for general existence. The game is, how do you curate your feedback loop? How do you curate negative input and translate it into enjoyment? The people who don't have that system worked out well are going to suffer eternally.
Oh, yeah.
If you can equate pain and cost and sacrifice and easily transmute it into pleasure and fun, you're going to have a life of decadence.
With a spoonful of sugar, the medicine goes down. The medicine goes down. And I feel like you're right, because if you can find pleasure in stuff like working out, which clearly I don't, but
it's a semi-painful experience.
It's painful, but the gains are worth it.
Mm-hmm.
If you can live longer, live healthier, live more comfortably with a set of washboard abs, everyone would have them.
True.
Yeah. But the fact that you actually have to put in the effort, you either have to watch your food, you have to watch your outtake, you have to burn calories, you have to suffer for it. Because anybody that can run and tells me that's pleasurable,
the runner's high.
All those guys are tweaked.
So when I was 12, 13, I was fat. I was overweight. I was like 230. Or maybe even more. I had a double chin. And that was around the time I'm entering the sexual marketplace. 12 or 13. I'm like, you know, now I need to go ahead and get ready to get the bitches.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my thought process. Like, okay, I can be a gamer. I can be a lazy kid. But I'm 12, 13 years old. It's time to go ahead and get ready for the bitches.
I want some chicks in my life.
Yeah. So I decided, okay, I'm going to lose the weight. And I went on like a regimen. I had 1,500 calories or less, and I ran at least 2 miles a day.
Boiled chicken every day. Gotcha.
And eventually, I started doing 5Ks with my aunt. She's very overweight, or was. And she wanted to lose weight too. And we kind of joined in, and we had a lot of runs together and things like that. And I can tell you, as someone who's done many endurance running, or a lot of endurance running, I've done a half marathon before.
Gross.
I can tell you, there's no such thing as a runner's high. Okay. It's all pain. It's all sucks. None of it's fun.
Yeah, and see, like, that right there, it's false marketing. It's the shadow government trying to make you live longer.
I think some people just have the need to pretend that painful things are pleasurable to do them. Like, I don't need to pretend something painful is nice to do it. I can do something that just fucking sucks because I know it should be done. But I think some people will go, no, this, for me to do this, it has to be kind of fun. Like, it has to be good. I'm like, no, running 12 miles is not fun. It never will be.
Well, those are the same people that will hit themselves with a flail and be like, yeah, no, this is, this actually tickles.
100%.
I'm sorry, but those are the same. The people that say that there's a runner's high are the same people that will tase themselves in the butthole to be like, yeah, no, this is great. I love it.
Yeah. They'll do that.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, there are some sickos out in this fucking world.
What about, okay, so you say that, but what about self-righteous people?
Oh, self-righteous people. Those people. I will go ahead, and for every self-righteous person that watches this, I will go ahead and make sure that you have a stepladder to go ahead and get off your cross. Okay? Look, there is an amount of suffering that is necessary for life to continue. It is what it is. We eat animals, we go ahead and move on with our lives, and we have to push paperwork for the guy that's above us. It is what it is. It's the natural way of things. But, comma, when you go ahead and sacrifice your actual purpose, you actually sacrifice who you are as an individual. You sacrifice yourself to the hive mind.
Do you think self-righteous people are sacrificing themselves to the hive mind?
It has to be. Because at a certain point, like, I found this to be ridiculous in my own life. I have been both a complete unmitigated bastard, and I've also been a doormat. Mm-hmm. And what's weirder to me is that when I was a bastard, when people have come to me and went, oh, we have nowhere to live. We have nothing that we can do. And I go, oh, man, you know, life sucks sometimes. Oh, it's crazy. You know, I'm not about to move 17 fucking people into my house. So 100%. That way, nah. So you can eat my food and then give me the minimal amount of respect just to keep your ass inside the house. Done with it. But then again, I've also had people who were in rough patches of their lives be absolutely saved by my dad.
Yeah. You've seen he took people in?
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the things that I genuinely respect about him, even though he's still not around, is that he might have been a callous mofo to outlast all mofos. But he opened his heart to people that nobody else would.
How does that relate to self-righteousness, though?
Ah, because he was never self-righteous about it.
Oh, perfect.
And that right there I respect even more, because it's easy to go, I'm Mother Teresa, swack. And I open my home, swack, swack.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just greater than you because you can't open your heart. Or you can actually do the right thing.
Right.
And open your heart with none of the recognition.
None of it.
It's only just to help people. That right there, that tickles my pickle.
That's understandable.
That be jerking because my gherkin.
That's in the vein of facilitating life, of facilitating spirit and light.
Yeah, and see, like, there's a lot of things that you can say about my dad. Like, he took a lot of walks around the trailer park. For you Florida people, you know what I'm talking about. But, he was a complicated person.
Yeah.
But I still respect him because he could still find it in his heart to do good, even though he was not getting recognized for it.
That's good.
And
think about the... I want to bring this up, though. Mm-hmm. On the topic of are self-righteous people masochists? Do they hate their life? Not all of them, but the ones that do are particularly evil, and I'll explain it.
Mm. Because it's self-aggrandizing.
Well, there's one thing to be grandiose of self and have ego and be a narcissist.
Yeah, which.
But let me ask, question people at home. Mm. If you end up facilitating a narcissist and emboldening them and facilitating their life.
Yeah.
Imagine you facilitated a narcissist who hates their life. Okay. Exactly. You can spend all your time catering and amping up and motivating a narcissist. And one narcissist might go out and enjoy their life. They smile. They're happy. They're grateful. They have a fun time.
Yeah, because they're getting praised.
And then there's the second, which I think a lot of self-righteous people fall into. They sacrifice people for themselves, like into themselves, but they don't even enjoy their life.
Yeah.
So imagine you spent your time and your energy on a person who doesn't even enjoy their own life. It's like, what the fuck was it for?
Yeah, that is a sacrifice on top of a sacrifice. That's a hat on a hat right there. Okay.
It's sick.
Yeah, it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy of failure at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's... So I'm going to go ahead and set you up as this most excellent guy, but you're going to hate every second of it.
That it happens more than you can imagine. It blows my mind.
Yeah, because like you've genuinely got good people in bad spots, and you're going to go ahead and do something to alleviate that scar on the world, and you can't even be happy that you've done it. That right there, that is literally me punching myself in the ass.
And I can say this as, you know, I think I am a narcissist. When people give me things, you know, from their own life, I appreciate it, I'm grateful, and I enjoy my life even more. I do not dare be sad. I do not dare be depressed.
Mm.
There was so much that went into building me up. It's ungrateful. It's ungrateful to its core. to take the sacrifice of others and then still have a shitty life. Like, oh, you know, I got all this close family. I got all these friends. They're like hyping me up. They're building me up.
Yeah, but if you're going to go ahead.
My life sucks.
Yeah, no, you're going to go ahead and sit there and shit on all the sacrifices they made to make bad choices in their life.
No, thank you.
To meet somebody like
No,
you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no.
Enjoyment is the cornerstone of gratitude.
Yeah, because like, at what point do you get to enjoy the sacrifices you've made? Because everything in life is a sacrifice. Either it's your time, it's your money, it's your skill, your expertise, it is something.
People like to help people.
Yeah, they do. Genuinely, people in their core are good.
When Santa Claus comes and gives you that bicycle you were asking for, and you end up hurting your knee and then you never get on it again, do you think he wants to give you another gift?
Nah.
No.
Nah. Ain't no why.
It's like, get fucked.
Yeah, well, that's because Santa's a communist, and that's why he dresses in red.
He knows when you've been naughty, but I'll tell you a secret. He also knows when you've been a little bitch.
Mm. That's actually one of my favorite jokes.
About Santa Claus?
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. So, there's this little boy, right?
Yeah.
He gets this tricycle, and he starts riding it down the... down the hill, and a police officer pulls him over, and he's sitting on top of a horse.
Okay.
So
he's on a tricycle?
Yeah, no, the kid's...
He owns a tricycle.
Yeah, the kid's on his tricycle.
Okay.
Now, he notices that the cop noticed that he ain't got no tags. He goes, well, I'm going to have to write you up. Did you get this tricycle for Christmas? He goes, yeah. Well... Santa Claus really should have gave you some plates to go with that tricycle and some insurance. So I'm going to have to write you a ticket. Well, the kid, thinking to himself, he leans over and he goes, so did Santa Claus give you that horse? He went, oh, yeah. You know, trying to be sweet, trying to be kind.
Yeah.
Well, the kid looks over at him and he goes, well, you should have told him to put the dick underneath the horse, not on top of it.
Fun times.
Shout out to the state trooper that gave me a ticket last week.
I swear the only viewer we got right now is the girl from the liquor store.
Mm.
If that's you, I want to say shout out. I appreciate you. You know, we're just now starting out, but I am a wizard, so at some point we're going to be absolutely massive.
Well, I mean, Grandmaster of the...
Baby Doo.
Yeah, Grandmaster Baby Doo. Ultra White Dragon. Leader of the Casper crew.
Whites are on the way out, man.
Oh, yeah.
Whites are on the way out.
Hopefully. A bunch of fucking same looking dudes.
Oh, whites. They're so boring.
It's still better than gingers. The sub whites of whites.
But I say this. If people make sacrifices for you and your life and your happiness... I don't care if you feel sad. I don't care if you feel depressed. Those things are natural and they come and go. But you have an obligation to be happy because so much was paid at your expense. So much was given to you. You have an obligation to be happy.
Yeah, there's a blood sacrifice that's clearly been made.
Yeah.
And like that's where it gets frustrating because like there's a lot of programs out there that could be getting a lot more love. Instead of doing stuff
like ours.
Oh, yeah. Especially ours. Donate to the Patreon. But.
Not set up yet, but.
Don't worry. We got our tech wizard on it. Anyway, though. The point being. For everybody that's given out of their life. There is nothing in this world that is free. There's no free lunches. Hell, I'm on a soul contract right now just to be on this podcast.
I made him sign a blood pact.
Yeah, seriously. It takes two virgin daughters, which thank God I've only got the one, and I didn't even like her anyway.
But I made it out of light. It was in good spirits.
Yeah, I had to wear sunglasses while signing the fucking thing. It hurt to read. But the point being is, like, there's nothing in this world that's free. And the fact that somebody has given out of their own to you for you to enjoy your life a little bit more. Just a schmickle more.
And you're going to be sad.
Come on. Grab yourself. Give your nuts a tug and fucking move on.
Before we change topics, I want to change. Well, I want to talk on this point, but a more specific version. It's this. A very attractive women who are sad are a pet peeve of mine to no end. If you're an attractive woman, you have no business being sad.
I mean, if you've only got Uggos hitting on you, then I'd be pretty sad about that. But then again, anyone hitting on me with as fat as my ass is.
Well, I say that because the ease of which your life could be conducted, I mean, is very high. Because the world wants to give you things.
They do. Almost to a masochistic level. if I'm being fair here, an attractive man can get only so many likes, but an attractive woman can get that many more.
Yeah, and they can get plenty of things that they want just given to them. Be happy. Like, just be happy. That's all you have to do.
Just show us that the world can actually be beautiful and not so shit to the point where even pretty people are upset.
A girl will be like a 9 out of 10, and she'll be crying because, like, this girl on Insta is a 10 out of 10. Like, get over it.
Oh, I'm so sorry that your BBW has bought you a Bugatti. I'm so sorry. Let me go ahead and wrap it up for the human race. Like,
it's okay.
Like, even the most gorgeous man, even Hugh Jackman, has to act. Even though, like, 95% of the human race would want to have his babies, men, woman, or other.
Yeah. He has to act.
Yeah, which, I mean, we all have to act at some point. Like, I'm acting right now. Currently, I'm actually Persona. Ryan Reynolds. Just fucking...
They don't know you got the face mask. They'll learn one day.
Oh, I mean, like, AI-generated shit's just come so far. Like, this is actually a digital reconstruction. I'm actually Taiwanese.
So I hate to say it, but I think, as far as I can tell, the guild is not going to show up. And I wonder why.
Of course not.
Guilds, it's almost like... They're no street gang, let me tell you.
Oh, I mean, like...
A street gang would have showed up.
I mean, if they were worth their weight in salt, which colloquialisms.
So we'll cover two very important points. Maybe they'll show up, maybe they won't, but there's two things we have to cover before this is wrapped up.
Yeah. Let's go.
One of them is submission.
The Walmart Plus experience, as it were.
Okay. What's the most submissive act most people encounter in their day-to-day lives?
Ooh, see, I would say paperwork.
Mm.
If you're going to go ahead and have to suffer for something, it better be good. It better be good. You've only got so many minutes, so many seconds, so many hours, so many... days on this planet, and if you're going to dedicate half of it to filling out some DMV BS, I'd go paperwork.
Well, if you have a job that has paperwork, you're probably right. But not everyone has a job with paperwork.
Yeah, I mean, like, even so, though, like, having to go ahead and get a construction permit or get a driver's license.
Oh, my God. What keeps so many people at bay from doing things in their life is the paperwork. I'm telling you. If you're like, hey, I have a dream. I'm going to build houses for a living. I'm going to make cars for a living. I'm going to make art for a living. Everybody who's an artist or an inspired person is throttled by the fact that the moment you set out to have a dream, you realize, wow, there's an immense amount of paperwork that I have to fill out.
A literal butt ton.
And why is that?
Because paperwork sucks worse than ball cancer.
Paperwork keeps the betas from the alphas. It's the divine separator.
Okay, so when I filled out my paperwork on being bankrupt, That was me submitting.
It was.
Okay. All right. Just because I don't make $10,000 a day on Bitcoin. Okay. All right. Fine. I guess I accept it.
Fucking submission.
It's not very Sigma.
No. But anywho, the worst for me, I would say, is when you're out and about and you have to wait in a line. Lines are inherently submissive. You're waiting behind other people just to get attention. I don't think a single person of importance waits in a line.
I don't think Jeff Bezos has ever been in a line one day in his life. It couldn't be.
And he shouldn't.
Well, I mean, considering he has enough money to buy 4 islands and a tiger for each island and a monster truck and a flamethrower to hunt said tiger on a monster truck and a monster truck for that tiger.
I'll tell you this. If I had even, well, I'm not going to say, you know, because
yeah,
I'll make the number larger.
Yeah, it's because
if I had $1 billion.
Oh, that's so much bigger than Jeff Bezos.
I would never wait in a line again.
No, because like I would straight up get my security detail to pull some Drake shit and like get in the middle of that line and let me do cutsies.
Nothing gets me riled up like waiting in line. It's like I enjoy my life. I enjoy this experience. God knows I'm a grateful observer. He knows, because when nothing can make me sad if I sit in the sun. If it's a sunny day and I sit and I just look at the sun, well, I keep my eyes closed because I don't want to go blind.
Yeah, he's a light bringer.
But I sit and I have a... Nothing is better than that. And so when I have to wait 10 minutes to get my fucking sandwich at Subway, it is a disgrace. It's not just a disgrace to me. It's a disgrace to existence itself.
All right, Diogenes, let's calm down a little bit. Put down the 9.
Truly.
Fucking, well, see, that's part of the human experience is suffering. And there is no more suffering than you can be than in a line, in a queue, in a thing, pile up of disappointment, as it were. Because, like, that's what lines are. It's a pileup of disappointment.
If I was in hell and it was catered to me, it would either be a line or it would be bugs.
Oh, God. See, I'd take paperwork over bugs. I would literally let somebody fist me with a cactus for a glove before I fucking go in there for paperwork or bugs. Spider Dave in his spider cave can go ahead and cough. Oh, I'm sorry. It's just, it is what it is. Like, I will literally eat a handful of live crickets.
Okay.
Then have to deal with, like, a camel spider. Nah. Done. Done.
Well, maybe we can make those arrangements.
I mean, like, we get enough subscribers, I'll go ahead and eat some live crickets. Like, well, I'm in for it. Crickets are just the shrimp of the land. Kind of like how chicken is the tuna of the sea.
So let me ask you, Ian, where do you think humanity is going? Where are we headed?
Oh, hell, what's obviously?
What is the end game of the human experience?
Oh, it's got to be a hive mind. Yeah.
A hive mind.
Yeah. Look, it's either one of two things. It's either we all learn to get along, hive mind, or it's mutual destruction because, you know, we can't get along as a species on one thing collectively, period. We can't even decide on which ancient book we like the most. Because if you look at statistically, we can't even decide on which prisons are going to get which religions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I tell you...
Do we dictate what prisons get which religion?
Ooh, that's a very tough one right there. That's a bit of a molding pot. But the point being is that I'll tell you right now is that more Jesus is found in prison than outside of prison.
What does that say?
It says that he's a very forgiving bloke. He's hopped off that shit.
I think it says people are ungrateful. And they become grateful when they've had enough pain in their life.
And that is a fact. I can tell you without a doubt that poor people can inherit the kingdom of God because they ain't got shit. It's literally, I ain't got nothing, so anything's better than this. And God's like,
gotcha.
Done. Look, you're grateful, you can come on in. But the guys that want to go ahead and get, like, aardvark hot and beaver spleen served to them on a daily.
What about those that are grateful to have beaver spleen?
Well, the one guy, I'm pretty sure his name is like Ted.
Ted Bundy?
That guy would have been happy for anything, honestly. He's a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm just saying, like, the guys that go ahead and ask you to, like, cut your dick off to be part of the church or some shit like that, it's very technical. Very, very technical.
So you think humans have two options when it comes to the end game of where we're going?
Yeah.
Either a hive mind or we kill each other.
Yeah. Because at some point, somebody's going to go, well, we've got more nukes than you, and America's going to go, bet.
So I actually think there's another option.
Huh.
It plays to the hive mind.
Mm.
It's not a hive mind, but it's similar. So when Jesus said he's the bread and the wine, I don't think he meant that figuratively. He meant it literally.
Ah, he's a big old Wonderwall.
And through it all...
I'm a Wonderwall.
But no, what I'm saying is integration into consciousness isn't necessarily the hive mind, but I do think it's the end game. And so what I mean by that is when he says he's the bread, he's the wine. Imagine all existence was a form of consciousness. Huh. Even just the physical, your desk, the rocks, the sand on the beach, it's all a figment of consciousness. It's all a piece of it.
Okay, so we're talking like 1,000 lives lived through one person.
Potentially, yeah.
Hmm.
And when you realize that existence itself is a form of consciousness, we're on this race. It's a race to discover what we really are. The reason you've got the Elon Musks of the world and the people who want to work so hard to bring these new things to humanity, it's because we don't actually know what we are.
We're dirt monkeys.
But we'll figure it out once we've escaped the authority of it. So the same way a kid has to escape the authority of their father to truly self-actualize, humans have to escape the authority of nature. If you want to chalk God up to anything physically, you could argue God is nature.
Well, I mean, that's some boilerplate standards, but yay.
And since the beginning, we've wanted to beat it. We've always wanted to beat nature. We want to work less. We want to enjoy more. We don't want to be bound to the confines of nature like an animal is.
Yeah, that could be explained literally by antibiotics and AC.
And when they say there's the tree of life, and there's the tree of knowledge and good and evil.
Which, terrible placement on both.
The knowledge of good and evil, I would argue, is simply knowing that all good comes from a sacrifice. All good is sacrificial. To maintain something beautiful means that things have to be sacrificed on behalf of it.
Yeah, that's why we have bacon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Pigs are smarter than dogs, yet we still eat them.
Well, that's because pigs are...
taste pig. Better than dogs.
Korea would tend to disagree, but let's go on.
And so, when we ate from the knowledge of good and evil, we decided we have to learn that ourselves. We'll be like God. That was what it was stated as.
Yeah, in the Bible.
And so, we were reduced to animals in the beginning. We killed like animals, we fucked like animals, we ate like animals.
Yeah.
And we've slowly civilized our way up. But it's all to reach a point. It's all to reach this point of beating the authority of nature.
Yeah.
If we succeed in it, and I actually think we will. There are people who think we're going to fall apart, apocalypse is coming, and humanity's going to die out. And the lesson will be that we shouldn't have done what we did.
Well, I mean, we've tried cryogenically freezing people. We've tried a multitudinous amount of ways of things going the wrong way for us, and AI being one of them.
Yeah.
Like, we've essentially created a consciousness outside of our own. So now, if we were ever trying to play God, this would be it.
This wouldn't be it. And I think there's a passage in the Bible that says when it comes, when the second coming comes, it'll be fast. It'll be in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, except for it won't be, because like there's going to be a whole ass ton of plagues.
When you look at how fast things are moving now, how fast technology is moving, mm-hmm. I think we're in the midst of the speed. We're in the midst of the end.
The singularity.
The singularity. And what is it? I think it's this. When we finally escape the authority of nature, we'll look and we'll realize it was never meant to be. We're never meant to escape the authority.
The Matrix will always be the Matrix because it is the Matrix.
When the kids come back home and they realize Dad was right about 80%, but they're their own person, they can integrate back into the value system of the family. And when humans finally beat God, and we finally beat nature, and we can live forever, and we don't have to work, and we look around and we realize we're all still miserable, and we all still hate our lives, and even though we had all the pleasure in the world that we could ever ask for, it wasn't enough, we'll look and we'll go,
we're still monkeys in the zoo.
We'll look and we'll go, maybe we fucked up from the beginning.
Which, I mean, I'd argue against you, but like, again, I think that we are going to end up like the monkeys at the zoo. Better quality of life all around, but we're not going to have drive. We're not going to have purpose. We're not going to have that oomph that gets us out of bed.
You can't name a lesson that was properly taught without the capacity to fuck it up.
Oh, yeah.
You can't get on a bike with training wheels and say you know how to ride a bike.
Yeah, it's basically what Greek mythology has been hinting at for years. It's hubris.
Right. I think all consciousness is a game of understanding why we're here. And the reason we're here is we have to learn the sacrifice that was made.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I'd say that you're wrong, and I really wish that you were. But honestly, the only good contributions to society have been made on the sweat and blood and tears of people that are willing to fight against the system that holds us back.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, like, come on, look at America right now. Our entire shtick is literally, fuck oppression. And we still oppress people! Our whole deal was, you put a 10% tax raise on tea. Nah, it's going in the harbor. You. Goodbye. Done. Yeah. We're done with it.
So I've wondered, I used to think of the world in more of a power dynamic. Like, who has power and who doesn't? That's what constitutes the world.
It's resources, but...
And I can tell you today, I truly believe the world is ran by morality and who has the most morals and who doesn't. And you could argue America is very immoral, especially today. So I often, you know, I wonder, why are we still the superpower of the world? Why haven't we collapsed yet?
Because we're the fucking tits, mate.
It's because we still facilitate the ability, or at least we pretend we facilitate the ability for an individual to reach their apex. On paper, we don't throttle consciousness. We don't throttle what someone could be. And yeah. Every other nation does.
Yeah, and that's because like we've got outliers who can come to this country and make something of themselves. Yeah. We got Arnold Schwarzenegger. We've got, God knows, we've got people that had no business even being able to speak the English language, absolutely running this piece. Elon Musk is a South African, then an American. He came from an emerald mine and made his empire. Like, love him, hate him, is what it is. He has shown that the American dream is possible. You can be a nobody and make yourself a somebody.
Yeah.
And that's because Australia is a fucking desolate hellscape.
Well, I think if the end goal, the end game for humans is that we learn our lesson, no one learns their lesson until they're given the full capacity to suffer the consequences of their experience.
AKA the ring hand of God. Yeah.
So we're here to learn a lesson, and our end game is we will have finally we win the game. We win the game we think we're playing.
Yeah.
And we learn we were wrong the entire time.
Yeah, and again, it's the difference between playing solitaire and, you know, blackjack. Like, we've only got so much that we can learn and that we have the capacity to actually handle.
Right.
Which, again, in any other alternate universe, we would have Australia being America. Because Australia is just that badass.
Right.
We are a colony of bad guys. We've done bad things. But now we're going to fist fight kangaroos and spiders for shits and giggles. And we're still going to live on this land, even though it's Arizona, 99.9% of the continent. Fuck you. We're going to live.
Right.
I mean, like, if we're being real here, it's just, I believe the human spirit kind of like boils down to how much are you willing to fight?
Fighting, see, that's what's interesting. If you're a child who's unruly and you refuse to learn your lessons from your father, let's say that's God, then you could argue the quicker you get through your rebellion, the better you are. So when you say fight, you could go, the people who fight with God the best, let's say the people who are successful in this world, you could argue fight with God the best.
Oh yeah, I mean, Jeff Bezos is literally in a slap competition with them.
They advance, they get there quicker. It's like they're expediting us. We're on the road to knowing. We're on the road to knowing we fucked up. We're on the road to knowing we're not all that.
Yeah, well, I mean, considering that computers can replace people at this point, it's almost the equivalent of, like, some old-timey tale where a scarecrow replaces the farmer. Like, we're at a point where we have once lived in a generation that could not get along for more than 15 seconds.
Without some killing.
Without murder. Or a martyr. Which, I would argue, we're starting to slip back in there with the assassination attempt. But we've almost outgrown the need for certain things. We don't need to know somebody on a subatomic level like they used to back in the day. Because one of my favorite and absolute worst quotes of all time, I hate the man, love the quote, Stalin. I hate communism. I want to say this for the record. I hate communism with every fiber of my being. Red bitches. But the death of a man is a tragedy. The death of a million is a statistic.
Mm-hmm.
And see, like, that puts the personal amount of worth that we put on one person. Because if your dad gets shot, that's something.
Right.
But if it's 100 people in Detroit literally in the last 20 seconds, because Detroit is, and I say this with all love in my heart, Florida could be taking notes from you, okay, with all the gun violence.
It's a completely different story.
We're gonna save that one for the next one.
Names,
I winked at the
camera. Names are important. Statistics really aren't that important.
Yeah.
But the reason why human life is so valuable, when people are like, I'm an animal rights activist. If you kill an animal, the animal only has a capacity to be so much.
A burger, bacon, a handbag.
Right. They could be the cream of the crop in their local, you know, subsection of their wilderness community.
Yeah, I mean,
but
if it's Air Bud, then that's a whole different
thing. Any random human that's killed could have been Einstein. They could have been Elon Musk. They could have been, you know, Thomas Edison. People who really contributed to the human experience.
Yeah, George Washington Carver with peanut butter. Like,
yeah. And so killing a human is potentially killing someone with infinite capacity and infinite potential. And That's why human life is so valuable, is because the potential of it is so high.
Yeah.
And I think we're on the path to realize we're steadily killing ourselves.
Yeah. And see, like, that's why I came to the two determinations. Either A, we microplastic ourselves into non-existence, and then kangaroos take over. Which
Kangaroo Jack.
Oh, I hope. I pray. The next species that takes over, if we're doing a poll, I'm hoping it's kangaroos. Look, I'm sorry, but like a literal jumping army. Come on now, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm gonna tell you right now, we beat the monkeys. We beat the monkeys.
Yeah, we beat the fuck out of them.
Yeah, seriously. Like, if the most damage you can do to the human race is drag a 4-year-old 10 years ago, you're cooked.
So, I think we've educated a lot of people tonight.
I think we did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Which, thanks for tuning in.
It's all about smiles. It's not about cries. Not with me.
Well, I mean, like, it ain't nothing but the crying for me.
If you can smile through anything, then that's what this is all about. No job, no relationship, no fun, no family.
No skibbity-dee toilets.
None of that. But you still have a smile. That's the spirit. That's the spirit we aim to empower.
Yeah, because if you're not laughing, then you're crying. Like, and with society being what it is, might as well be the motherfucker with a smile.
100%.
So just remember, test positive, stay negative.
And always, always bring the light.
We'll catch you next time. See you at the next podcast, motherfuckers.